The Change Masters, Innovation and Entrepreneurship in American Corporation. Author, Rosabeth Moss Kanter. The Need for an American Corporation Renaissance. In every sector, old and new, a company's success is built on the importance of its people, their talents and contributions. But it was easier for the successful American companies to assume that their system, rather than their people, were responsible for their success. The ideal organization was designed to free itself from human error or human intervention, running automatically to turn out predictable products and predictable profits. Management was there to handle the few unexpected events that could occur. The number of exceptions and change requirements went up, and companies must rely on more and more of their people to make decisions on matters for which a routine response may not exist. Thus, individuals actually need to count for more, because it is people within the organization who come up with new ideas, who develop creative responses, and who push for change before opportunities disappear or minor irritants turn into catastrophes. American companies can return to economic leadership through a better use of people and the encouragement of innovation. If their leaders appreciate both the magnitude of the transformation that have taken place and magnitude of the response that is required. Innovation is needed at every level. Innovation in the very ways that the organizations operate, in their view of themselves, and the mechanisms that can develop and engage the resources to maximum extent possible. Transforming management. There is a need for negotiations and relationships outside the immediate managerial domain. Managers need to persuade rather than order and acknowledge the expertise of those below. It is required of managers of all levels to shift their traditional emphasis and to occupy new organizational roles, involving very different tasks from those with which they are originally involved. The environment is increasingly activated, meaning that more stakeholder groups and interest groups identify themselves, feeling that they have a stake in the organization's operations. Rather than simply assuming, as in the old models, the supply is certain and inevitable, top executives must develop strategies of bargaining for resources and influencing the environments. For middle managers and professionals alike, a new set of pressure arises that need new insights, new skill, new orientations, and new roles. The middle-level power struggle is in part over ownership of new ideas. Leadership should be independent of level and participation should be based on skills, independent of formal position or formal authority. Such designs also undercut traditional authority, because people have to bargain for influence and status. They struggle for power enough to have some impact on ever more confusing systems. Thus, for middle managers subject to any of these new forms of organization, authority and career success are not granted automatically. The necessary shift. The corporations that will succeed and flourish in the times ahead will be those that have mastered the art of change, creating a climate encouraging the introduction of new procedures and new possibilities, encouraging anticipation of and response to external pressures, encouraging and listening to new ideas from inside the organization. The individuals who will succeed and flourish will also be masters of change, adept at reorienting their own and others' activities in untried directions to bring about higher levels of achievements. They will be able to acquire and use power to produce innovation. Innovation against the grain. Those at the top with power can afford to be generous. They can easily protect those with desirable innovations from the rules of the system. But the long chain of command often means that bosses of middle managers and below feel powerless and thus need to cling to any shared control, that they feel measured by rule obedience and therefore that they feel measured by rule obedience and are therefore prone to hold others to that standard. The company may mandate change from the top, allowing a few at levels below to shape tactics. It may set up formal tests of ideas initiated at the top. It may bring in outsiders with freedom from the constraints facing the rest of the employees, or it may be unable to maintain tight control at all times, thus allowing a few holes in the system, constituting unplanned change and opportunities. In the first two cases, the decision about the shape of an innovation will already have been made, limiting the chance for a potential entrepreneur to introduce new ideas. In the last two, only a few people can find themselves in the right place at the right time, and the impact on everyone else can be negative. In many instances, the behavior of the top can be understood as though it were acting according to a set of rules for stifling initiative. Segmentalism may not be the only problem of these companies with respect to change. There are also human failures, but in general, segmentalism is the handicap. Segmentalist companies may not suffer from a lack of potential innovators so much as from failure to make the power available to those embryonic entrepreneurs who can use it to innovate. Cultures of pride, climates of success. In innovation-producing companies, a degree of independence from higher-level interference is vested in a local group who are mutually dependent on each other. At these companies, either there tends to be a note of scorn for higher organizational levels, or the local executive group would actively compete with their own bosses at corporate or at a group level, wanting to beat them to the punch with pioneering ideas and practices. A matrix organization is not by itself a necessity. It is one way to accomplish the organizational integrativeness that fosters innovation. Furthermore, there is good evidence that a matrix organization is only a transitional step in a decentralizing process helping move toward a complete responsibility to a product line rather than a split between product affiliation and functional reporting. Pride in company, coupled with knowing that innovation is mainstream rather than countercultural, provides an incentive for initiative. A feeling that people inside the company are competent leaders, that the company has been successful because of its people, supports this. Such cultures of pride out in sharp distinction to the cultures of inferiority that lead less innovating companies to rely on outsiders for all the new ideas, rather than their own people. Organizations with cultures of pride in the company's achievements and in the achievements and abilities of individuals will find themselves more innovative. Empowerment. Three broad aspects of the operation of innovating companies aid power circulation and power access. Open communication systems help potential entrepreneurs locate information that can shape and sell a project. Network forming arrangements help them be in a position to build a coalition of supporters, and decentralization of resources helps them get the resources to use to mobilize for action. These three clusters of structures and processes together create an empowering, integrative environment. The last key to successful middle management innovation is to see how power gets pulled out of circulation and focused long enough to permit project completion. But some of the focusing conditions are contrary to the circulating condition, almost by definition. This is what makes organizational innovation so tricky. An organization has to constantly balance the circulation and concentration of power, managing in the innovating organization. The first step in change mastery is understanding how individuals can exert leverage in an organization, the skills, strategies, power tools, and power tactics successful corporate entrepreneurs use to turn ideas into innovations. A prototypical innovation led by a corporate entrepreneur has three identifiable waves of activity, occurring in sequence or as a successive iterations and reiterations. First, problem definition, the acquisition and application of information to shape a feasible, focused project. Second, coalition building, the development of a network of backers who agree to provide resources and/or support. And third, mobilization, the investment of the acquired resources, information, and support in the project itself, including activation of the project's working team to bring the innovation from idea to use. Participation, involving grassroots employees on participative teams with control over their own outcomes, helps the organization to get and use more ideas to improve performance and increase future skills. Participation needs to be managed just as carefully as any other organization system. The more participation is localized and deals with issues under the team's control, the easier it is for the team to find enough stability to make progress on its tasks while permitting the organization to seek renewal by creating new problem-solving teams. Participation is not a program or a formula, and it may not necessarily be a permanent way of doing everything. Participatory processes should be seen as task-oriented, integrative rituals of high involvement, and transformation, a way to engage many talents in the mastery of change. The vision and blueprints of change masters. The tools of change masters are creative and interactive. They have an intellectual, a conceptual, and a cultural aspect. Change masters deal in symbols and visions and shared understandings, as well as the techniques and trappings of their own specialties. A well-managed, innovating organization clearly has plans, mission, strategies, structure, central thrust, a preference for some activities, products, or markets over others. But it also has willingness to reconceptualize the ideas and even sometimes the overarching frameworks on the basis of the continual accumulation of new ideas, innovation, produced by its people, both as individuals and as members of participating teams. Change masters are the right people in the right place at the right time. The right people are the ones with the ideas that move beyond the organization's established practice, ideas that can form into visions. The right places are the integrative environments that support innovation and encourage the building of coalitions and teams to support in implementing visions. The right times are those moments in the flow of organizational history when it is possible to reconstruct reality on the basis of accumulated innovations to shape a more productive and successful future.